Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of WashTec AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Ralf Koeppe, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the presentation of the WashTec's financial statement Q3. With me here in the room are my colleague, CFO Dr. Kerstin Reden, CSO Stefan Weber, and Sergey Volodin, Head of Finance and Accounting. Next slide, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the COVID infection figures are rising again. I think we all knew that some second wave will take place. The early time in October and the growth rate of this second wave has been surprising for all of us. But allow me to briefly provide you with an overview before my colleague, Dr. Kerstin Reden, will present the Q3 figures. Let me summarize our business model to take everybody on board. WashTec is the world's leading provider of innovative vehicle washing solutions. Our product range includes capital goods, such as oil, types of car washing systems with the associated peripherals and water treatment systems. In addition, our customers receive the services and consumables required to operate the system right through to arranging financing or the operator management of systems. Next slide, please. Let me start with some overall remarks describing the current situation. If you attended the last call, you already know this slide. We extended the wash figures to September, and you see that the business of our customers is somehow back to normal with typical variations caused by the wash weather. Already in June, we were able to take the supply chain out of part-time unemployment, increased step-by-step the working hours, and started onboarding temporary workers to ramp up the production capacity. WashTec's supply chain can adapt its capacity in a wide range, which pays off in the situation that we are experiencing. Given our Q3 figures, you might ask why we did not refine our guidance. With 6 weeks of delivery time in Q3, the planning of Q4 is almost completed. I would like to emphasize that machine revenue at WashTec is realized by a successful installation procedure at the customer site. With the current COVID situation becoming worse, we still bear some uncertainty to the successful installation of all plant machines until the end of the year. Personally, I'm optimistic that state regulations over the world will enable business relevant to WashTec to stay open. Compared to the first lockdown, we now have further insights from the course of the pandemic. We also wear masks every day to minimize the risk of infection, and the test volume has drastically increased. Next slide, please. Talking about our first digital car wash machine, the SmartCare. After the serial release of WashTec SmartCare end of Q2, the first machines have been delivered and installed. Those who listen to us regularly are aware of the high customer value that the SmartCare brings to our end customers. The machine not only has intelligent sensors for precise control and chemical dosing, due to the remote access, it is also very easy to control and adjust for the operator. We are already counting a lower double-digit number in operations. Further installations are planned for this year, and the feedback from our end customer is very from our operators and end customers is very positive. But what is a smart machine without the topic I will now come to? Next slide. I'm excited. In Q4, we are releasing the product SmartSight that will add to our digital portfolio. SmartSight complements SmartCare by allowing to manage a wash site remotely. You can think of it as a home automation system applied to wash sites. SmartSight aims at self-service wash systems but seamlessly integrates with the smart care or soft care as long as the machine is connected. SmartSight allows to save energy up to 20-30% by optimizing indoor and outdoor heating according to the temperature. The site can be monitored from everywhere. The door of the technical room can be remotely opened and closed. Wash chemicals can thus be delivered without requiring the operator to be at the site. There are many more features which we do not want to focus on in this presentation. To summarize, smart care in combination with smart size drives operator efficiency. The testimonial of our customer is outstanding. These are multiple site operators who basically manage all their sites remote. Next slide, please. The goal of the performance program is the optimization of WashTec's structure and processes. The projects are implemented in cross-functional and cross-hierarchical teams. The headcount end of Q3 has further decreased to 1,767 compared to the figure of last quarter of 1,795. An improved coordination of the supply chain and installation teams is now operating by an Industry 4.0 approach in the first countries. Our engineering excellence program implements agile processes and a structure which focus on products rather than divisional silos. Product management and R&D work closely aligned. I will now hand over to my colleague, Dr. Kerstin Reden, who will present the Q3 figures. Not yet, yeah. Thank you for your attention. Next slide, please.
Thank you, Ralf. Good afternoon, everyone. We are cautiously encouraged by our results for the third quarter, although mindful of the fragile global economic environment. Order intake from direct customers has gradually improved over the third quarter, and both North America and Asia Pacific have delivered positive EBIT contributions, resulting in a third quarter with an overall solid performance. I will begin with the financial highlights on page 8, followed by details on the sales development, first on a year-to-date perspective, then from a quarterly view. I will then turn to income statement and EBIT performance, followed by cash flow and working capital, and conclude with the outlook. We will then take questions. Starting with year-to-date figures, total revenue was 269.3 million, down 13% year-over-year. EBIT was 12.5 million, down 38% year-over-year. This represents an EBIT margin of 4.6%, exceeding the 3% EBIT margin we achieved during the first half of the year. Free cash flow was 25.1 million, up more than 100% compared to prior year, driven by lower receivables and cost control measures. Clearly, COVID-19 has still impacted our business performance in the third quarter with customers delaying machine purchases. However, compared to the second quarter, we see signs of improvement and a stronger EBIT performance benefiting from our cost measures. Turning now to the sales development on page 9. Revenue for the third quarter was 93.9 million, down 15% versus prior year, which is a 2% improvement compared to the second quarter. In terms of foreign exchange fluctuations, please move to the next page. Exchange movements resulted in a 1.1% headwind to reported revenue for the quarter and had only a minor impact on year-to-date revenue. Continuing with revenue by product category on page 11 and starting again with year-to-date numbers, revenue from equipment and service decreased 14% down to 228.6 million. In contrast to that, our chemical business was quite stable with revenue of approximately 35 million year to date. Focusing now only on the third quarter, the picture is quite similar. The revenue shortfall was due to lower machine sales, in particular to key accounts. The chemical business was stable and on the same level as last year. Coming to year-to-date revenue per segment is shown on page 13. Europe was impacted the most by the pandemic with major lockdowns and lower machine sales, in particular in Spain, Austria, the Nordics and Eastern Europe. Overall, revenue from Europe was 216.9 million, down 15%. In North America, year-to-date, we only see a relatively slight revenue decrease of 3% as we started with a very positive momentum into the year and were only hit by the crisis in the third quarter. In Asia Pacific, revenue increased 9% year over year, driven by a strong third quarter. Looking now more at the specifics of the third quarter on the next page, the third quarter was again challenging for Europe with a revenue decline of 13%, improving from our second quarter decline of 24%. The major factors were release of lockdown and a gradual recovery of our direct business. In contrast to Europe, as expected, revenue performance in North America deteriorated over the third quarter, resulting in a decline of 32% year over year. Asia Pacific delivered a quite encouraging performance with revenue up 40% year over year. Both China and Australia contributed to this performance. Turning now to the income statement. The 13% decline in revenue translated into a 13% reduction of material cost. Material cost ratio was stable with 43%. Operating expenses were 142 million, down 10% year over year. Personnel expenses decreased from 107 million to 98 million, a decline of 8%. The major drivers were reduction of headcount and release of accruals for variable compensation. Subsidies and government support packages had an impact of 0.9 million. On average, headcount reduced by 73 year over year. To counter the sales development and to take measures to minimize operating costs, we had implemented a second phase of the performance program in the first half of the year. We also saw a decline in other operating costs, mostly because of lower travel and advertising expenses. Year-to-date EBIT was 12.5 million. Net income was positive with 7.4 million. The next page, 16, shows EBIT performance per quarter. EBIT for the third quarter was 7.3 million, representing an EBIT margin of approximately 8%, a solid performance in view of the overall global economic situation and also compared to prior quarter. Let's now move on to EBIT performance by region on page 15. As a result of the year-to-date revenue decline in Europe, EBIT from Europe went down to 13.7 million. North America showed an improved EBIT performance, up more than 100% as a result of our cost improvement initiative. Year-to-date, North America reduced its loss from 6 million to around 1 million. Asia-Pacific achieved a break-even result. The performance in the third quarter contributed to this positive development both in North America and Asia-Pacific. North America achieved an EBIT of 0.9 million despite a revenue decline of 32%. Compared to the second quarter, also Europe showed some signs of recovery with an EBIT of 6 million compared to the 2.7 million generated in the second quarter. Let's now move on to cash flow and our cash position. Cash flow from operating activities increased from 6 million in 2019 up to 28 million, driven in particular by lower receivables. Cash flow from investing activities decreased from 6 million to 3 million as a result of expenditure control measures. Overall, our cash position improved by 17.7 million from a net debt position of minus 34.7 million to a net debt position of minus 17 million. Looking quickly at some balance sheet indicators, Compared to September 2019, net operating capital went down due to lower receivables and payables, reflecting the lower business volume and lower demand in 2020. Inventories were slightly higher than last year, driven by stocking effects to avoid supply disruptions. ROCE decreased as a result of a lower average EBIT in 2020. Our equity ratio improved and is now at 35.5% owing to the positive net income in 2020 and suspension of dividends. This brings me to our outlook. Given the limited visibility for business and in view of the current resurgence of the coronavirus, we maintain our outlook statement for the full year 2020 in line with our half-year report. We expect a revenue decline between 15 and 20% and an EBIT margin of 3 to 5%. Current expectation is a decrease towards the lower end of the percentage range. That means lower range means here 15% towards 15%. With this, I'd like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. First question is from Mr. Alexander Halitsa. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the question. I would have a few. The first one maybe on the outlook that you just reiterated. If you could share maybe some thoughts around the implied performance for Q4. Even if I look at the sales, for example, if we take the lower end, which is 15, then it would still allow for a decline, quite substantial decline in Q4, which would actually be worse than arguably the worst quarter, which was Q2, the most significantly impacted by COVID. And when I put it together with in the context of your prior comments with regards to improving sequentially business with direct customers, also I think you were mentioning that there is a potential for key accounts to come back in Q4 as they would potentially look to spend the remainder of their budgets. So maybe you could share some thoughts around this topic, how you think about Q4 given the current environment.
Thank you for that question. So you're right, we are cautious with our outlook here, and as Ralf also pointed out, this is because of the current situation. We don't know if a second lockdown might impact our ability to reach site and might postpone installations. So that's why we maintain our outlook and want to be here on a more cautious side. And with regards to key accounts,
we'll hand over to Stefan Weber.
Yeah, maybe a comment from my side. Thanks for the question. With regards to the key accounts, yes, we are in discussions, and also some of the key accounts have realized that at least in some countries, car wash is a crisis-proven technology, although maybe fuel consumption went down significantly and fuel price also, whereby car wash sites have in many countries been open throughout the crisis, and car wash numbers are where they have been before. So, yeah, in their portfolio of investments, car wash has, let's say, improved its position, whereby, I mean, we know how key accounts tick. You know, they have sometimes other investments in mind, and so we have to wait until we are certain, you know, that this goes in the right direction. But we have some positive signs. Let's put it this way.
Okay, thank you very much. And then maybe if I can continue also around Q4 in terms of EBIT, you also reiterated the margin target. If I take the midpoint of which is the 4% EBIT margin, that would basically require you to deliver 2 million EBIT in Q4. And then what I when I put it in context with what you have delivered in Q3, which has been 7 million on pretty much the same revenue level that you presumably will have in Q4. So that also would, at least to me, suggest that the margin guidance is rather on the prudent or conservative side, if you will, or maybe if you could share if there are any moving parts that we don't have a full overview on that you potentially expect to impact earnings in Q4, if you could share some thoughts on that.
Yes, you're correct. We are also here on the more prudent side, but we also look at our cost structures. We are currently in the budget process. And we also, at the beginning of Q4, we initiated another restructuring. So we are in a transformation process, as we've communicated earlier. This time it's a focus a lot on finding the right talent for positions and matching skill sets to positions open. But this also requires some restructuring, and we expect to recognize also restructuring costs and perhaps also other measures with regards to the balance sheet in Q4.
Okay. Would you be able to roughly tell us up to what magnitude could those restructuring costs be?
I'm afraid this is still a little bit too early.
Okay, fair enough. All right, thank you very much for that. And then maybe a little bit on North America. This is quite remarkable how you were able to achieve profitability with substantially lower sales volumes in North America. Maybe you could share some thoughts on this success and what contributed to it, and how does it what does it mean for the coming years for the profitability of this region?
I mean, this is Stefan Weber speaking. I mean, you saw that we had some significant headcount reductions, and I would say quite a substantial part of this fell into North America. North America, in this case, contributing U.S. and Canada. And the impact of these measures are now, let's say, on the cost side for the first time really full visible in Q3. That has lowered overall our break-even point significantly also going forward. So we think that we are now in a much better position than beginning of the year, whereby we have to say beginning of the year, as you could see by the revenue development, we had an enormous backlog where we were basically aiming for a completely different top line. So we had these people on board. Then when COVID came, we had to react fast. In the U.S., as you know, it is sometimes easier to react fast than in Europe with the personnel measures, which we did. At a very initial stage, already in end of March, we took the first significant measures, and now increasingly you can see the effect. And with this in mind, I think we also have now found a much better position for the way going forward into Q4 and next year.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And lastly, on the inventory side, we've seen inventories going up to 48 million in Q3. Could you maybe comment around the current situation with regards to your production? At what capacity is it currently running?
Okay. Talking about the inventory, if you remember, in April and May, we had a shutdown in northern Italy, which is basically the component the area where our components are delivered from. Also, we had shutdowns in China when we talk about our electronics or part of our electronics. So we took some measures to really secure the supply chain. But, of course, we aim to optimize that by the end of the year. And it's always, an interesting job. As I said, we now know how Q4 probably is going to look like, but with the installations being not at risk, but with all the situation which we cannot influence, of course, what we're now putting down the inventories step by step. But if everything works out, we are down to prior year, then end of the year in a similar way, but we might have some upside effect by this, by securing measures that we took in March or April and May.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
The next question is from Eckhard Kutz from Warburg Research. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, very good. So regarding your free cash flow generation, it was very strong over the first 9 months of the year. This was largely driven by reducing your working capital, of course. So usually you have in the fourth quarter also a strong free cash flow generation. Do you have an expectation or something like an outlook for Q4 here? Do you expect the free cash flow to become even better for the full year than after 9 months? Or what is your expectation here?
Just a second. We have to clarify the question. Just give us.
Okay. So I can ask you more questions in between. So you can check it maybe.
Go ahead.
Okay. So earlier this year, I made a note here that you expect cash out from restructuring this year in the amount of 4 million. So here my question is, how much of that has been paid out in the first 9 months, and what amount can we expect for the fourth quarter? Next question is with regard to subsidies in connections with COVID-19. So you said in your quarterly report that you received 0.9 million over the first 9 months of 2020. And I remember a conversation with you some time ago that you expect more than 2 million to come in the fourth quarter from North America. Is that still the case, or is that a number which you expect for the full year? So, and then maybe next, also regarding cash flow, the investing cash flow, 2.6 million after 9 months. Last year was 6.1 million in the same period. Also here, do you expect major capex in the fourth quarter, or shall we expect the figure to stay where it was after 9 months?
Okay, let me start with the last question. We don't expect a high investment volume in the last quarter, but we will have some moderate investments. With regards to the question, the U.S. Subsidies, we received around 2 million in cash because we applied for a so-called forgivable loan program. But we are still double-checking the criteria to ensure that we can recognize this as an income. Regarding restructuring, already recognized in the P&L, the number is around 2 million. And the first question was about cash flow generation in the last quarter. So given the lower business volume, it will be lower than last year.
So do you mean that free cash flow for the full year will be lower than after 9 months, or lower than...
Sorry, it's just for the last quarter. It won't be on the same level as last year.
Okay, so you expect a further improvement over the first 9 months. So we had 25 million free cash flow after 9 months. So you expect a higher figure for the full year?
We expect a positive cash flow, but not at an extremely high level compared to the first 9 months.
Okay, got it. Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay, maybe looking beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. So for me, one of the most important questions with regard to WashTec is what amount of sales do you need in future, maybe after 2021, to achieve your 10% margin target? So earlier, I accounted for somewhat around 400 million annual sales. It's clear that maybe in 2021, the structure of a company is not in the shape to reach that margin with 400 million sales, but do you agree that from 2022 onwards, such a margin is possible with 400 million sales?
I think we last time we had the figure of 400 million in there, and of course this requires some further restructuring work. Yeah? And again, we will take a cautious approach for budget planning, and we're currently working on the 2021 budget, and also think about further cuts where things are possible. Of course, we have our performance program, but process optimization, of course, takes time. And therefore, the question will be whether we have first the structure adaptation and then the processes adapted. It's a very ambitious goal for 400 million, as you said, and I think with all the process improvement, we are somehow getting there, 2022. Most likely, and I think also for the top line, of course, that will enable us. But for 2021, we really have to work hard. We have ambitious goals there, but of course we have to see how much restructuring can be viably implemented. Yeah. But you will see some of those measures, I think, in the Q4 figures. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe a very last question on North America. So after Q2, you said you expect more or less 40% top line decline in the second half of the year compared to the previous year's second half. So I guess this is still the case. This would mean that Q4 revenues in North America would be more or less on the same level than in Q3. Is that a fair assumption? And yeah, okay, good. You mentioned that you have positive signs from key account customers in North America. So does that mean that we can expect then that in the first half of 2021, business in North America will pick up again, or what is your expectation here?
My expectations, I mean, it's very difficult to have any expectations under given circumstances here. And unlike the direct customers, the single customers who are, you know, direct entrepreneurs, and when they see the opportunity and they see the worth of car wash, they invest. You know, there are strategic decisions to be made in larger key accounts. Hence, we have discussions, but we don't expect much in Q1, maybe some better order intake, yes. But let's say revenue-wise, we don't expect a tremendously good first quarter in America. However, as you can see by the Q3 results, we have also a different structure now. In other words, if we would receive a significant number of key account orders in the US, we would have to also grow our structure back to something that is capable to cope with these volumes, because you can see it's a significant volume decline. And in the meantime, we have a setup where we can even produce a positive EBIT with a completely different top line, you know. So in that sense, we hope that it comes. We have good discussions, but we are not 100% reliant on it in terms of EBIT, you know, since we have made the right measures, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so over the course of 2021, the situation could improve, but visibility so far is relatively low.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
As a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. We haven't received further questions. I will hand back over to the speakers.
Yeah, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for attending our Q3 call. It was a pleasure to have you. And also, I hand over for the closing remarks to Kerstin, who attended the first call for WashTec. And I let close Kerstin.
Thanks. Hope we could cover your questions and looking forward and to speak to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.